as Dave mentioned earlier, our pastor's on vacation, well-deserved vacation. So this week and next week, we have special speakers. Speakers today have been friends of mine for several years, and I find them to be a magnificent couple. If you sit down with them and talk with them, you're just amazed at how God has worked in their lives. They are a couple with a match made in heaven, but even they didn't believe it at first. But God convinced them otherwise. And since then, they don't do anything unless they do it together. They're in several ministries. God called them in ministry when they started doing sunrise services. And after the second year of that, God spoke to them and said, full-time ministry is where you need to be. So they started preparing for that. They prepared through ISL, which many of us are familiar with. And under leadership of local pastors, they've expanded that ministry. I wanted to read what they've done the last several years because it leads into a very significant part of their story. At New Life Church, and you're familiar with New Life Church, we've shared worship services with them in the past. At New Life Church, Randy and Terry were associate pastors, leading, teaching, and facilitating many classes, assisting in the worship as required, and preaching when asked. They started sunrise services at this church, and they've been doing that for 7 years. They are part of the New Life Prison Ministry team. I want you to hear that. They also lead a weekly Bible study and participate in quarterly Sunday services at the Allegheny County Jail. I want you to note that. They've also been active in Kios Prison Ministry. With that kind of a background, it's not surprising that God has recently led them to leave New Life Church as associate pastors and start out in a new venture. They are now on the edge of starting a church named Reclaim Church of God, and the ministry will be for recently released incarcerated persons. They hope to also have and eventually some kind of halfway house where they can also minister to these people that come through their doors. They're starting services in October. They don't know where yet. I've already made a prayer card for them to help them start this ministry when I have my own prayer time. But they'll be doing it in the beginning of October, and I think they have a congregation the size of 5. But they'll be reaching out to the prisons, to the people who've been incarcerated, people who've been released, and the spouses and children of these people starting in October. So when God prompts you, please say a prayer for them. And I said earlier, they don't do anything unless they do it together. And guess what? They preach together too. So both be coming forward now. Keep them in your prayers as they speak to you. Something has been dear to their heart in the past years and something we all deal with in our daily lives. So Randy and Terry, if you'd come forward, and thank you for being here.
Amen. Amen. That was the breakup song by Francesca Battistelli, if you want to look that song up. It became one of my favorites this year. You would think that our title would have been something about fear, but it's not. The title of our sermon is Finding Their Wings, and you won't find out what that means until the very end of our sermon, so you're going to have to pay attention. Our first scripture, though, that we want to start with is from Psalm 91, verse 5. It says, "Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day." So we're talking about fear this morning, and we all face terrors of the night and arrows during the day that fly at us. There is some fear that is actually legitimate. Like if someone is chasing you, you might have a fear of being harmed. There is fear that if you lost your job, you may be fearing how you're going to cover the bills and how you're going to take care of your family. Legitimate fear. But there's fear that seems to be just as real that is not quite as legitimate. Like a child may become afraid of the dark and have a fear that there is a monster sleeping underneath that bed. Or harsh words are said to most of us as we grow up and throughout our lives. Those words often become the script that run through our head. We have fear that we are as worthless as someone said, and when we were 10, we really won't even amount to anything. There's a fear because Billy Bob or Betty Sue said, "No one's ever going to love you." But worse than that, life seems to have a way of supporting those monsters under the bed, at least in our own minds. So think about it. You can name your own fear. What are you afraid of? Legitimate or not, you can break up with that fear.
So just so we know, we need to know what fear is, right? We got to look it up in the dictionary. So fear is a natural emotional response to a perceived threat for one's general security or welfare. It ranges in degree of intensity from a sense of anxiety or worry to one of utter terror. It can be a useful emotion when it leads us to appropriate cautions or measures that would guard our welfare. On the other hand, it can be a hindrance to our enjoyment of life. Well, as we was looking this up, we found an acronym about fear, and it just pulls in and really throws fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And not author is unknown, but false evidence appearing real.
So, yes, fear. False evidence appearing real. Good heavens. False evidence appearing real. So there's no evidence. There were lots of children here, right? And I'm sure one or two of them at least had a fear of a monster being under the bed or in the closet. There's no real evidence of that, though. But no matter how many times a parent or a grandparent goes in and turns on the light and looks under the bed or opens the closet door, they're still afraid and they still insist, there's a monster in here with me. False evidence appearing real. There's also no evidence that any one of us are worthless, useless, unloved, or unwanted. But no matter how many times your family might tell you or the pastor might tell you that that can't be possible because we're each made in the image of God, and God is not any one of those things, and so therefore neither are we. But we still believe that it's true.
Today we have four P's to help you, to guide you, to take you from fear into that being strong and free. So our first P word is the word push. We need to push fear away. Fear can stop you from discovering the potential God has for you. Fear will own you if you don't take control. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline.
And Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Barb had indicated that Randy and I weren't quite equally yoked when we were first introduced. However, God worked an amazing plan in our lives. And when I first heard this scripture, I thought a light went off for the first time. And I thought, you mean God has a plan for me? So I don't have to make up my own plan. God already knows my plan. And it was such a relief to me because I had been trying so hard on my own. But I found so much comfort in knowing that God had that plan. But you have to live by that plan. And so even when we have fear, and even when things are challenging or difficult or we don't know where we're headed, if you hold on to, for I know the plans I have for you, and you know that those plans are good and not for disaster, they give you a future and a hope, then we can kind of let go of some of that fear and trust that God's plan is always good for us.
So we have pushed fear away. And now we want to pull from fear those things that in the past we've controlled, that we've conquered. Because there is fear in each one of our lives in the past, but we've got through it, right? We've gone over it. We've conquered that. So we can recall those things from the past. So we're going to pull from the past that which we've conquered.
So conquering fear. Quite a few years ago, Randy and I have been married 18 years, and so it was right after we got married, I lost my corporate accounting job. And I was the one with the health insurance, and I was the one actually earning more money. But I lost my job. But we trusted and believed that God knew the plans he had for us, and they were plans for good, and so we accepted where God was taking us. But with pulling fear from the past, 3 years ago now, Randy lost his job, but he was the one making the more money by then, and he had the health insurance. But we knew it was time for him to leave, and we trusted, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And so we pulled from our past what God had done for us when I lost my job, and we trusted that God would do the same for that, for our, this situation as well. And now, as it turns out, because of the new plans that God has for us, I've turned in my notice for my job, and I have the health insurance. We just kept going back and forth, but each one that had the health insurance is eventually the one that's leaving their job, and we're looking at no health insurance, and what do we do there? But we keep pulling from our past situations and going, but God took care of us when I lost my job. And by the way, we had three teenagers at that time. And so that was not an easy situation to face, but we trusted God. When Randy lost his job, we pulled from that and we trusted God, and he took care of us more than we could ever ask or imagine. He's done more than what Randy would have ever done had he kept that job. And so now we're trusting God again. When I leave my job soon, very soon, I hope, that God will again work with us and show us where to go and blossom this ministry into something that we can't even ask for or imagine yet.
So we have a couple scriptures. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Psalm 49:5, why should I fear when trouble comes, when enemies surround me? And then Lamentations 3:57-59, yes, you came when I called, and you told me, do not fear. Lord, you have come to my defense. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong they've done to me. Lord, be my judge and prove me right.
So if you can't think of a time when God released you specifically from fear, and maybe scripture just isn't coming to mind because you're so caught up in what you're dealing with and what you're facing, that you can't even think of that. Listen to a song like the breakup song. And remember that we can break up with fear. We're going to play a song at the end that's called Fear is a Liar as well. And that's a great song because fear is a liar. But if you can't even think of those songs, then think of somebody else's testimony that they've given you. If you don't have your own, that God hasn't pulled you through or you haven't conquered something yet, think of what somebody else has shared. I gave you three different situations with losing our jobs. You can pull on one of those and know that God did it for us, but he's the same God for you, and what he's done for us, he will do for you as well. Okay. Good.
We have push away fear. We have pull fear from your past that you've conquered, and now press fear out of the way. Fear can stop us in our tracks, make it an impossible to move frontwards, backwards, to the left, or to the right. Don't let fear paralyze you when you are stuck on a mountain. And the reason I said stuck on a mountain is we have a devotional thought about being stuck on the mountain.
This is from a book called Live, Love, and Lead by Brian Houston, who's the founder of senior pastor from Hillsong Church. And they do all of those great, amazing worship songs that we sing. So he's talking about, in this devotion, about him and his wife and his two sons going up this mountain. And they skied and snowboarded. The boys, took them way up higher, much higher than they would ever normally go. And so they got to the top and they looked around and thought, now what? We can't get back on the ski lift. There's only one way down. So they started down, and it didn't look too bad yet because the first couple of hills and stuff were pretty reasonable. But they eventually got to this part that it was like the edge of a cliff was just dropping off. And so they stopped, and they looked, and they thought, now what? Now we really can't go back. But I'm terrified to go forward. And sometimes our life feels that way, too, that we're right at the edge of a cliff, and there's no way to go except forward and down, and yet we're stuck there for a little while and thinking, what can I possibly do? Well, he went and Really, the two boys started down the mountain. They're not afraid. They're young teenage boys, so they went flying down, and they were good. And he eventually went ahead and went down as well, leaving his wife, Bobby, up on that edge of the cliff, stuck on the mountain. I know. Isn't that awful? Don't ever do that.
Talk about fear.
Yes. So she was really, really paralyzed. There was now nobody around to support her or encourage her. But another skier came along, looked and saw the fear in her face and where she was, and said, "Ma'am, you just have to commit to your mountain. That's it. Commit to the mountain. You have to go forward." And so that's exactly what she did. He says, "Ultimately, my brave wife made her way back to the base, healthy and intact, with her story to tell. So many times in life, we are trying to ski over the edge of a steep precipice when you can't see the path down. There's no way to turn back and no way to go forward. You feel stuck, afraid, at a loss for hope. These are the times when you must exercise your faith like never before, stepping into the glorious future God has for you, even though you can't see what's ahead. There are times in life when you just have to commit to your mountain. Sometimes when you feel cornered by life, hemmed in by less than ideal circumstances, you have to take that leap of faith, trusting that God will guide you and lead you through the trials and temptations you're facing," which is exactly where Randy and I are, amazingly. I'm sure Pastor Herb has told you this, and we've heard it from Pastor Mark Richardson. When we're preaching, that message is typically for us. And then we share it with you, and we bring you into what we're dealing with. And that is what we're dealing with. We, last week, were here because we had just turned our notice in at New Life Church of God, because we felt we were too safe there, and we knew God was calling us to start Reclaim Church of God, but we could easily just stay there. It's a wonderful church. Pastor Mark is a wonderful pastor, but yet we knew God had a different plan, but we were afraid. We didn't want to jump off that mountain, and boy, we took a flying leap. And so there's 5 to 7 of us that are starting this church. Have you been there before? Some of you have, right? You start out small, and you see where God takes us, and that's exactly where we're at. So we committed to our mountain, and we jumped off that precipice, and we're going to be flying down with God leading us all the way. But sometimes you just have to commit to that mountain.
One of my scriptures that I really love, it's a promise, but it's also a command. It's Joshua 1:9. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." A command, but yet a promise. Amazing. Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? What another fabulous promise. If God's for us, who can be against us? Do not fear. I am with you. It's what we want, right? If we release it to God.
So let's review. Push fear away. Pull fear from your past that you've conquered. Press fear out of the way. And our fourth P is pronounce fear out loud, which is where I've been living. I've pronounced many of my fears out loud to you. And this is what I find. Fear has an increasing power over us when we keep it to ourselves. The enemy uses that fear to make us think that we are weak, worthless, useless, unlovable, and unwanted. He makes us believe there is a monster under our bed. Fear lives in the darkness. When we admit our fear and share it with God and with others, fear loses its power. Fear can't withstand the love of God and others. Fear is a liar, and we need to take back the time that fear has stolen. It could have stopped us in our tracks, and it did for quite a while. But we pronounced it out loud to our church and to God and now to you, and we are allowing fear to just release itself from us so that we can move forward. So pronounce fear out loud. Don't keep it in. So the scripture with this is Psalm 56, verse 3. "But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you."
1 John 4:18. "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is because of punishment, and it shows that we have not been fully experienced in his perfect love. And then Romans 8, 37 through 39. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we was researching this also, we come across the little fear versus faith. So we're going to bat this back and forth.
So fear imprisons.
Faith liberates.
Fear paralyzes.
Faith empowers.
Fear disheartens.
Faith encourages.
Fear sickens.
Faith heals.
Fear makes useless.
Faith makes serviceable.
Most of all, fear puts hopelessness in the heart of life.
While faith rejoices in its God. And that was from H.E. Fosdick.
Clearly, I deal with fear more because I had to read the fear part.
You chose the fear part.
But I do. I sometimes choose fear. I do. I agree. I choose to live in fear. But we've learned now to push fear away.
Pull fear from our past that we've conquered.
Press fear out of the way.
And pronounce fear out loud.
So this leads us to the story and the title of this sermon, Finding Their Wings. And so let me just read that to you and see what you think. It says, every Sunday, the ducks in a certain town waddle out of their houses down Main Street to their church. They waddle into the sanctuary and squat in their proper pews. The choir duck waddles in and takes its place, and then the duck minister comes forward and opens the duck Bible. And he reads to them, ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fences can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings, and you can fly like birds. And all the ducks shouted, amen. Amen. And then they all waddled home. See, I laughed out loud when I read it, too. It is a funny story, but oh my goodness, isn't it true? You can take this quite a few different ways as ducks waddling in and ducks waddling out. But part of it is that ducks had fear. They had fear to do something different. They had fear to not fly, and they just waddled back and forth to church. And so we do that a lot. We keep waddling back and forth, but the minister, the duck minister, was giving them a message that they could fly. They didn't have to stay on the ground. They could fly with their wings, but they waddled back home. How many times do we let the sermons that we hear take it in while we're here, and then we go home and we're exactly as we were? Don't waddle. Let God do the work that he wants to do, and take this sermon and what we've taught and what we've shared and use it in your own life.
To find your wings.
To find your wings, exactly.
For our meditation and contemplation song, we have Fear is a Liar. It's a pretty upbeat song. So watch the video, Fear is a Liar. Would you stand with me for our final prayer? Father, we come to you with all our fears. We come to you with all our worries, all our lives. Father, we give them all to you today, for we want to have that rest that you want for us. We want that happiness. We want the best that you have for us. We want those good plans that you have for us. We want that hope. We want that future. Father, we give them to you today. Take away our concentration on this world's goods, in this world's way of thinking and power. Father, dedicate ourselves to your kingdom. Rule my life and our lives in your world, Father, we wait for your kingdom to come. Show each one of us the tasks that you have for us to work for you this week and in the weeks to come. And help each one of us to be faithful in accomplishing that task, not by being afraid of doing it, but by standing and moving to it through understanding that we can move from fear to awesome, awesome conquering power. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated.